sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Épisode 128. Uno dos ocho. Un, deux, huit. Scoring a game I don't care about. Alright, bear with me, alright? As I recite today's poetry, it goes, "Hey, yo. I was laying back, cool, calm, collect, with my man Mike off, second, and Karen Dillette." I need to Google that. "If Atlas shrugged so he could give his arm a rest, I figured I could take the time to let my mind wander yet." You ready? "Y'all scoring a game that I don't care about.
Message.
Cause if you ain't dropping that cheap weekend shit every week and shit, then they wonder about your whereabouts." I just got it. Let me recite that. "Every week and shit. Cause if you ain't dropping that cheap weekend shit every week and shit, then they wonder about your whereabouts. I will clothesline a nigga and air it out." And this one's important. "Cause time is precious and my peace of mind is paramount." Oh my God. Yo, this whole
message.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm going to do something I wasn't able to do on the last episode. I'm going to open up my Windows File Explorer. Okay, I'm in File Explorer. I'm going to navigate to a folder where I keep all my sound effects, and I'm going to find my sound effects. Found my sound effects, and then I'm going to play an appropriate sound effects to express how much I really, really appreciated and enjoyed this rhyme, and play this.
More fire.
There we go. That's right. That's what y'all heard, man. Y'all heard some more fire. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I would like to welcome you returning listeners, and for you new listeners, especially those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, I need to give you a heads up, a warning, that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. Another thing you should know is I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. What's today's date? November 22nd, 2023, and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. One last thing, this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too. Fuck you too. Yeah. I'm trying to do some exercise with my mouth, and because my pronunciations and stuff, but yeah, okay. You know what's killing me right now is that my phone just sent a notification, and I know it's not going to be anything special, but I have this need to check it. But I'm going to fight it. I'm going to beat this addiction, all right? I'm not going to touch this phone till this episode is done, all right? But just know, but right now that I'm thinking about, I'll suck your dick if you let me check my phone. Anyway, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, hey. So before I continue with the show, I want to just help you new listeners, you know, get around. Like I said, if you click on this podcast by mistake, that was your warning about the kind of episode, kind of host that I am. And if you're still sticking around, then let me break it down on why my podcasts play out. So what I like to do is I like to break these episodes into three segments. Or if this was a play, we would call them acts, if you will. And the first act is the introduction. Second act is called the news and random thoughts. And last one is final thoughts. And if you go on the show notes, you'll notice that that's how I break down the links. You'll be able to situate yourself on, if there's something, a link that I say that you find interesting, well, you'll find it on the show notes broken down into three categories. In the introduction, I like to do shit like I just did, play the theme, recite some poetry, which I will explain what I was thinking about. Before I recite the poetry, I give you the title, then recite the poetry, and then it's usually something related to final thoughts. But I'll get to that on the third act. And then introduce the show and do shit like read out some quotes or thoughts. And this particular quote goes like this. The first one is confession. I found this on Instagram. Introverts are awesome. You know what? How am I not following these guys? All right. Confession. I hate small talk. It gives me anxiety. Amen, it does. But if you want to get honest and vulnerable and weird for a little bit, I'm totally down for it. Yes, that's what's up. See, I could do the, what do you call those things? Those speed dating. But it's funny, but the part where you call each other, yeah, I've never been that good at, in the off chance I managed to get a woman's phone numbers, the idea of making small talk and, you were really hot on Friday, I'm surprised you gave me your phone number, and it gives me, I don't know, I'm not perfect, it's my challenges, you know, we all have our challenges, some of you were born stupid, me, I get anxiety during small talk. But it's true. The people I was able to connect with is when they can drop their, not their guards, but pull out their quirkiness. Yeah. Anyways, I love this quote. I'm glad I shared it. Okay, second quote goes, this one is a thought. I think I'll elaborate more. No need to elaborate. But it goes, it's actually, a meme, but it goes, you've changed. Well, it's two characters. The first character goes, you've changed. And the second one says, we're supposed to. And it just had me thinking about, how it's true. How do I say this? I had hit a crisis in my life and it caused me to become a different person. Different to the point where I had to stop talking to people that were in my circles. And now I'm kind of, there's some of these people who I haven't figured out how to become the same person, this new person, and interact with some of these people. Some of these people used to be in my circles. Now, here's the thing where it gets complicated is some of these people in my circles are actually family members. Now, I have one particular relative who I was able to kick it with, and that's because I've noticed they've been consistent in accepting however way I've changed, or at least not be annoying about it. And Yeah, no, I love this. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. Stop the press. So I just noticed from the quote I just shared in the comment section, in the commentary, in the caption, and I didn't even pay attention to that, there's an Ugbendino quote. I'm a fan of Ugbendino. Well, I say I'm a fan of Ugbendino. Ugbendino, I read two of his books. Well, they're kind of brochures. They're kind of really thin books. But and he goes, in order to be knowledgeable in these changing times, we must pursue a constant program of self-improvement, a never-ending journey into new fields of knowledge and learning. Man, I'm going to summarize that with the R&B artist Life Jennings. And he goes, the only thing constant in this universe is change and change. Now, I won't be surprised if he took that quote, from someone else. But, you know, from my hood perspective, he wrote that quote. All right, okay. This quote hit me because it coincided with the fact that I noticed that I have changed. And if there's people that I've stopped interacting, especially from my childhood, it's because I don't want to go back to being who I used to be. It is what it is. All right, okay. All right, guys. Okay, so that's what quotes. Now, this completes introduction. Let's jump into news and random thoughts. Okay? All right, let's go. Yeah. All right, so first thing on the news and random thought. Did I have another? I could have sworn I had a thought that I wanted to share before. Yeah, that's what happens when you don't write it down. Yeah, hold on. Is it about Law and Order? Nah, I forgot. Anyway, yeah, I hate that. But anyway, again, that's what happens when you don't write it down. So I'm going to play this first video, and the title goes, I labeled it as, I'm not saying it's impossible to find love. And I'm just going to play it because I'm not sure who. Oh, okay. So this is comedian Daniel Sloss on love. And he says something that I really enjoyed. I mean, that I really appreciated. But here he goes. Here we go.
I am not saying it's impossible to find love. All I'm saying is that statistically, you have not. From the bottom of my heart, I believe that 80% of relationships in the world are horseshit.
Horseshit.
A bunch of people who never took time to learn how to be alone, therefore never learned how to love themselves, so you employed someone else to do it. Prove me wrong. I am not saying...
But B, it's comedy. Why are you taking it so seriously? Because what I love about that... I guess that's probably what my favorite kind of comedy is. The kind that makes me laugh and makes me think. Or like, there's like it exposes a truth that sometimes is difficult to handle. And not difficult to handle, but in this particular case, I connected to this thought. Sorry about that sound. Just ate and whatever. That thought is, homie's right, man. I remember back in my college days, or after college, dating this one woman. And you know, this is probably, I wouldn't say my first girlfriend, but it was, the breakup really got to me. It really fucked with me. And I initially, you know, at the moment I thought, you know, I guess that's what love is about. But the truth, it was more ego than ego. And especially because of the way the breakup happened, it was like kind of cruel. But I remember it was being exposed to the weakness that, nah, man, this has more to do with your fear of being alone. Like, I don't know how, but I was able to recognize it was more being in a situation. It's kind of like, I feel like Batman's origin story. Well, not the part where his parents get killed, but the part where he exposes himself to a whole bunch of bats. Because he was scared of bats. You know what? Okay, I'm sorry, you DC fans or Batman fan. I'm about to fuck up his story, right? But I do remember that Batman, when he was before Batman, Bruce Wayne, he was scared of bats, and he got over his fear of bats by being surrounded by bats. And Batman's a fictional character. That's not the fucking point. Man, you know what? If I gotta explain myself, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. All right. What was I saying? Yeah. So after that breakup, I remember being in this moment of coming to terms with this beast that I've been fearing all my life of loneliness. Being so scared. But what made it easier to confront it is also the realization that, oh, there's worse than loneliness. It's being paired up with someone who makes you wish you were lonely. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's a lot worse to life than loneliness. Anyway, yeah, so that realization, I didn't realize this till now, set me on a path into loving thyself and realizing that, no, you don't need, like, you don't need another human being to complete you. You know, that came out wrong. You don't need, love thyself. Love thy motherfucking self. If you don't love yourself, then you're going to be a shitty partner to someone else. And, yeah, man. Okay, look, I don't want to go longer than I need to. Did I mention that I had a big heart to be? I guess that's what the thought I was trying to share is. I had a big, made myself a big meal. Actually, I made myself a meal and then remember that I had some leftovers, combined it, and let's just say I'm fighting the itis. It's a good thing I love doing this podcast because I'd be passed out right now. Anyway, what was I? Yeah. Yeah, man. Just woke up with the, it set me on a path into self-acceptance, self-love. Set me on a journey. I'm not sure. I'm not saying I hit the destination, but it set me on a journey. And it also got me to realize how there are people in relationships because they fear loneliness. And there are people in relationship because they found the compatible ideal partner. I want the latter. I prefer the latter. Again, sometimes it helps to date some of the worst people in the world. Okay, I'll take that back. She wasn't the worst person in the world, but she was the worst person for me when it comes to a relationship. And just that exposure was enough to, like, wow, okay. Fuck. Okay, if women have Prince Charming, what do men have? Princess Whore? Whatever. Anyway, yeah. Okay, what else you got? Okay, yo, this one is going for hip hop fact. You know what? I think I'm gonna file this under, yeah, we knew B, but it's not important. Okay, okay, I'm gonna play this, right? Just
my first.
For you hip hop fans. And basically, the voice behind Maybach Music. This came up on my timeline. What's funny is because I've always wanted to know who was the voice behind Maybach Music. And I've always wanted to see it, and surprise, it's a white woman. But this is just going on FYI, all right? FYI, and yeah, here we go. I know now, you should know too. Here we go.
When I first arrived, I ended up in Rick Ross and Jay-Z's studio. I just was hanging out with my other Australian friend, who's also a model, and they really liked our accents. And then they told us to, say a couple of lines in front of the track. It was like, what is this? And then I say Maybach Music. Maybach. And then my friend goes, I like this Maybach Music. And then we both say sweet. So I didn't even know that they were going to use it. Like, I knew that it was at the beginning of that song, but they never, they didn't use that song. Jay didn't use it on his album. No one used it. So when I say Maybach Music, he cut that and used it in all of his...
What is this?
Maybach Music.
I like this Maybach Music. Sweet.
I first arrived, I ended up...
All right, Jessica, okay, I just Googled this woman, and her name is Jessica Gomez, Australian model, of course, and you know what I'm curious is her net worth, but it's not that. You know, I won't lie, man, I think what impressed me is, what I like about this is, every time I would hear, I still remember the first time I heard that voice, Maybach Music, and the first thought, which I'm sure it's the intention, is she needed to sound, she sounded like not just a model, but a very expensive model. She had like that white woman voice of, hey, black people, I made it. Hey, I made it. Like, if she does the trophy wife thing, yeah, man, she's like, she's got an allowance and talking about, yeah, I don't fly anything less than first class. That's not the point. But I do love how that voice expresses or says, I'm a very expensive person, and for me to be by your side, you need to have boku bucks, which I believe that's the intention. And I don't know, I guess I'm fascinated out the fact that when you realize she's just a human being, like, but yet there's something about that voice, her accent, and I guess throwing white supremacy as well. And that just sounds like she's the complete opposite of Sexy Red. You know what? Okay, no, sorry. I didn't mean to disrespect Sexy Red. I only thought of Sexy Red because she came out with a new song. She came out with a new song recently, and my timeline was filled up with people who aren't her target audience complaining about, it's the end of the world. Fucking basically a bunch of old people, whether they're Christians or Hoteps or whatever the fuck, criticizing this young woman for being, you know, a disgrace to black folks. Anyways, yeah. So now you know. Now you know. And I'm not going to play the You Must Learn because that only applies to black history. This is more hip-hop shit. All right. I'm kind of hoping that I share a fact that you're going to bring up at the barbershop. This random trivia, and then you'll be like, yeah, where'd you hear that? On some podcast. I forget what it's called. I think it's called the Be Quiet Podcast.
Did you know that Israel was almost in?
Sorry. All right, sorry, my apologies. That's the next clip I'm about to play. All right, okay. Hey, we're moving along. What time? Oh, good B. Come on. All right. I forgot that because, yeah, I'm trying not to make a long episode because this is a midweek. This is a Wednesday. And I gotta wake up to go to the office tomorrow, and that means no sleeping in an extra hour. All right, okay. Wait. Okay, yeah. Before I talk about Israel, I'm going to play this clip and give it time to load. Yeah. This is about female CEO. Hold on. The thought about female CEO. So here we go.
Women CEOs of color were found to be the best performers in a new 2023 paper analyzing the performance of CEOs across gender and racial identity in the United States. White women CEOs emerged as the next best performers, followed by men of color CEOs, followed by white men CEOs. Contrary to racist and sexist stereotypes that suggest that people of color or women are only placed in these positions of authority because they are underrepresented, this paper actually points to the opposite, where women and people of color, and especially women of color, face so much discrimination and are held to such a higher standard that those who do advance into these top positions are much more likely to be overperformers relative to their white male counterparts who ascend to the same levels of leadership. And white male CEOs, who are much less likely to have to prove themselves above and beyond the demands, likely underperform compared to these other groups because lack of discrimination and barriers that come with it means they've always been able to underperform relative to women and people of color and still reap the benefits of advancement.
All right, okay. What did the caption say? The female CEO color emerged as performer. Okay, where is the... You know what? Fuck it. I was going to say, what's their source? But I believe it. I believe that shit. I didn't know they had... I'll tell you why I believe it. But it's one of those things I've always known is... Or we've always, black people we've known, or not just black people or people who are not white males. You go into a job and the pressure of people are staring at me. People are looking at me. I can't fuck this up. The only people who don't give a fuck about performance are probably black Republicans. Okay, you know what? I'm generalizing. But yeah, black Republicans will play the race card on you. We'll be, oh, wow, you fire me because I'm black? Yeah, they'll, if you got people like me, I've came in with this mindset of, and it's a shared value. You come into the job and you represent all us people. It's all about leaving the door or keeping the door open. Like, we've all had this mindset that the white gaze, and that's what motivates you to do a good job or do an exceptional job. Now, it sucks. I stop agreeing with the notion that because you're black, well, I mean, it's a reality. It's a reality. I'm just saying that I'm 48 and I don't have the energy to do it anymore. But, you know, when you're black, you gotta work twice as hard to get half of the shit white people get. Now, for some, it allows you, it squeezes you into excellence. And for others, it just causes you to burn out, which happened to me. But getting back to her point, yes, I do believe this because you're surrounded by people who expect you to fail. And that, for some, is your motivator to, like, surpass expectation. See, growing up, okay, this is probably more of an Ottawa thing. When I say Ottawa, I mean growing up in an area with white people who are not familiar with black people politics, psychology, or anything like that, or black history. I noticed that in certain American society, of course, they would hire a black CEO. They'd hire a black CEO. And I knew if they hired that dude there, they know this motherfucker has made mirror. You know, okay, you know, shout out to Talal Macy. He's made this point on one of his pieces. He goes, just the same way, if you notice a group of black people and there's a white guy in there, you should assume that that white boy must have done some crazy motherfucking shit to gain their respect. That or he's in charge. That or he has the lawyers. They have to go through him to get a lawyer. No. But the same way, if you see a white guy with a group of black people, you got to assume that, yo, he's about it. The same way we do that is the same way that if you see a group of white people and one black guy in there or one black woman in there, they're like, they've earned that respect. I don't think you can't tap dance your way into gaining white people's respect. I should know. I tried. Nah, man. If they have you in your circle, if they're like, hey, you watch how you talk about our colored friend here. If they're in that circle, they gain that respect. That's because they impress them with some. Actually, yeah. Sorry, I'm laughing because I'm thinking of this black dude I used to work with. I had moved to a new department, and there was a black dude there, and I kind of wish I had time to have picked his brain, but I won't lie. I mean, I looked at him like, you know, whatever. You, I didn't. My mind wasn't right at the time. I wasn't thinking strategically, so I just didn't think anything big about him. It's only after he quit or moved to a different organization that I learned that this motherfucker was a superhero. He was like a badass. And there was a lot of things I could have learned from. Oh, you know what? This is what happens when you work remotely, I guess. Yeah, I'm not. Hey, whoa. I'm not speaking against working remotely, but I am bringing up the fact that working remotely made it difficult for me to pick his brain. Anyway, all this to say that, yeah, when I heard the homie was gone and they were praising him and I'm learning all this shit, that all this infrastructure he built for this organization, I'm like, fuck, I knew I should have gotten to know him. Yeah, and whatever. But yeah, so female CEOs, shout out to black female CEOs holding it down for the black community, for us black folks. All right. That's exactly what I was thinking about Obama, too. I think that's one thing black people like me loved about him. I mean, sure, you can bring up the drone strike and all that shit. But the one thing I did love about the Obamas is how they took that job. He took that job as president of the United States the same way the rest of us take that job. Like, knowing that the white gaze is on us. I'm holding it down for the rest of us. Look, man, I'm going to play this fucking game. I'm going to go by default. I'm going to do the bare minimum and keep this fucking boat afloat. I'm going to do the bare minimum and not do and not behave like Trump. I mean, and don't get me wrong, Obama excelled at his job, at his gig. But in white people's eyes, yeah, whatever. He's just a bit better than Trump. Anyway, yeah, so, yeah, shout out to female CEO. All right, now, let's play some history, man. Let's talk about some history. Shout out to my man. Okay, I don't know him personally, but shout out to Garrison Hayes. Man, Garrison Hayes, I wish he was my teacher. Would have been my teacher growing up. But then again, he's younger than me, so that wouldn't have worked. Doesn't matter. Garrison Hayes, you know what? I'm going to end this segment of...
You must learn.
Yeah, this is going to... Now, this qualifies as some...
You must learn.
KRS-One, you must learn. So, here's Garrison Hayes about Israel in Africa. No, Israel is not in Africa, but I'll let him explain it to you. Here we go.
Did you know that Israel was almost in Africa? Kind of. This is one of history's craziest almost moments that you've probably never heard of. The plan was called the Uganda Scheme, and it was presented to the World Zionist Congress in 1903 by Theodore Herzl, widely regarded as the father of political Zionism. The plan would have created a Jewish homeland in East Africa. You might be wondering, why East Africa? Well, like many places in the world at the time, it was under the colonial control of the British Empire. European colonizers came into East Africa and did... what colonizers do. Displace, dehumanize, subjugate, murder, the list goes on. But thousands of miles away, Europe was becoming an increasingly hostile environment for Jews. In fact, in 1903, Jews in Eastern Europe faced a terrible and bloody massacre. Jews were desperate. So when Britain offered to partner with the Zionists to establish a Jewish homeland in present-day Kenya, it was appealing. So the Sixth Zionist Congress convenes in August of 1903, and Herzl calls on the 473 delegates to vote on this plan. And it passes easily, even though some hated it and many saw it as a temporary solution. But this is where it gets interesting. In the end, the Uganda Scheme never came to fruition, in large part because the white settlers in East Africa believed that it would be unfair to them to be displaced by settlers. They established an anti-Zionist immigration committee and published their disapproval in a local newspaper, causing Britain to withdraw their offer to the Zionists. All of this makes me wonder what the world would look like today if the Jewish homeland was anywhere else, or if the Palestinian people were white.
Oh man. Hold on, I'm gonna play press back. There's something he said.
Be displaced by settlers. They established an anti-Zionist immigration committee and published...
Anti-Zionist immigration committee. So you know what that tells me? Anti-Semitism saved East Africa. Oh, look, don't fucking, don't look at me like that. Don't get mad. It's more the idea that there's no way. I know for a fact. No, I don't know for a fact. Okay, maybe I should Google this, the history. But I'm pretty sure there was some choice words when these anti-Zionist immigrant folks, some choice words against Jewish people when they express their discontent with, nah, fuck no, you beep, 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 and insert derogatory terms against Jewish people here. You bleep, 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 bleep. Can't have our niggers. Anyway, sorry, yeah, that was my takeaway from it. Yes, you can think about how different shit would have been, but I want to think about how, okay, so Minister Farrakhan could have done a tour there. Holy shit. Minister Farrakhan would have been popular. And the Jews! Yeah, okay, all right, okay. Sorry, this is my attempt to imitate Minister Farrakhan being anti-Semitic. All right, there you have it. I want to be clear, you know, I know I'm anti-Zionist. You know what, fuck that. You know what I mean? Don't explain yourself, be black. Stop making apologies. All right, okay. Here we go. What else do you have? You must learn.
So, two-state solution.
Oh, right. Okay. So, this is another fascinating... I love history. This is an Indian woman who breaks down how two-state solution didn't work out too well for India, Pakistan. You know, I had no idea... Okay, I'm going to stop before I say anything ignorant and just let her explain the whole... I had no idea what she was about to... What she's going to explain. Here we go.
So... two-state solution. I'm going to tell you about one region in the world that was also a British colony that actually took the two-state solution. And guess what? The trauma of that, we are still feeling it two generations later. I'm from India, and we were colonized by the British for more than 200 years. One of the most sinister tools that was used by the British Empire was called divide and rule. They would encourage infighting between all of these communal groups so that they would never unite to fight back against the colonizer. After 200 years in 1947, the whole subcontinent came together for one revolutionary fight for freedom. Britain's divide and rule strategy was irreversible. The country was finally partitioned into two states, Muslim-majority Pakistan and Hindu-majority India. It is one of the largest human migrations. 15 million people were displaced. Communities that had coexisted for millennia started attacking each other in terrible communal riots.
Wow.
Millions of people watched their families being murdered, and they had to leave the land that they'd lived in for generations and start again from scratch with nothing. The border between India and Pakistan is the most militarized zone in the world. People who ate the same food, wear the same clothes, watch the same movies, speak the same language, people who should be standing side by side as brothers and sisters, have instead been at war, have instead been spitting at each other and shooting at each other for 75 years. If you want history to tell you whether a two-state solution divided by religion actually works, India and Pakistan are a prime example that it absolutely does not. My Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Indian brothers and sisters all over the world, please. Many of us are still carrying the trauma of partition passed on to us by our grandparents and parents. This is your sign to demand Palestinian liberation. Support Palestinians when they reject a two-state solution. We can't allow what happened to us to happen to them. We already know where that road goes.
Yeah. Now, again, I played this not because to argue against a two-state solution, because I don't know enough to speak on it. Look, man, whatever the Palestinians want, I'm rolling with that. Free Palestine. I just played it to one, like, god damn, fucking white folks, eh? I mean, okay, I guess you could say the English. Still white folks. God damn it. Is there a place they haven't fucked up? And two, this notion of how they use infighting to dominate a society. Trevor Noah, in his book, he talks about how, was it the British or the Dutch? One of them. White folk country, came over. When they came over, the one thing they did to take over the land was getting some infighting going. And, yeah, man, shit, they've mastered that shit. Okay, look, you know what? This wasn't on the script, but I have a strong urge to play it. The title goes, Vive le Québec libre, comme dirait ma grand-mama. So that's kind of interesting. I have to play it. Okay, here we go. Oops.
Alvera stitchy boy calls the tabarnak. Alvera stitchy boy calls the tabarnak.
Should have known. Okay, I'm going to regret playing this because it was so loud. Okay. All right. Is that it, me? All right. How long is this clip?
28 years ago.
Okay, that's 4 minutes. I'm not going to play it. All right. Okay. I'm just going to share the thought. So there's this clip called Why Were Bosniaks Massacred? To destroy a people, you must first sever their roots. Alexander Zaltsev. Look, if you've been paying attention, if you've been listening to these past episodes, I've been this thing going on in the middle, the war, the conflict, the genocide happening in the Middle East is fucking with me, man. I feel like Wallace in The Wire, man, after he witnessed the death of Omar's lover, and it's fucking with me, man. Anyways, yeah, like throwing the holy, highly sensitive, and it's just fucking with me. But the thing is, I've been acting like this is new. This has never happened before. Like, this is this catastrophe, that end of the world, and yet, and then oblivious of the fact that Congo, Sudan, there's genocide happening there. There's conflict all over the world. And so I just came across this clip about Bosniaks. And I guess this happened during the 90s, I imagine. And I remember how I was oblivious to that part of the news. I had no idea there was like a genocide, like a ethnic cleansing. Basically, a group of human beings were being massacred. And I didn't watch this whole clip, but it's more the idea of being human seems to be being accepting or being okay with genocide. Now, people will tell you that, oh, no, no, everyone's against genocide, but sure, maybe they are. But what gets me is how easy people can get talked into genocide. Now, here's the thing. I remember I was going to post this thought that I will always be against one group of human being massacrating another group of human beings. The only exception is if it's a slave revolt. Now, granted, I guess I'm starting to think of that scene in the Game of Thrones. Spoiler alert, season 8, when Daenerys on her dragon loses it. Like, you know, she finally gets King Landing, she wins. The King Landing government, Cersei, the queen, concedes, says, you know, all right, uncle, yells uncle, he rings that bell. And Daenerys was like, fuck that shit. Fuck that. And then burns down King Landing. Like, I was like, yeah, burn that motherfucker. Now, granted, it was a TV show. What I'm getting at is, so I said, I will always be against one group of human being doing a massacration of another group of human beings, unless it's a slave revolt. But here's the thing. Dessalines, Toussaint Louverture, the leaders of the Haitian Revolution, sure, they may have committed atrocities, or they may have been part of atrocities, but they didn't go to the levels that I would have gone if I was in their shoes. I would have been like, fuck that. Burn it all down. Every white person has to die. Oh, except the Polish. Yeah, the Polish, they cool because they're fighting with us. But, if you're down, maybe not the engineers or whoever builds our weapons, whatever, who builds the weapons, yeah, we keep that. We need that. But everyone has to die. My point is, yeah, I wouldn't be my point is maybe I guess my point is realizing that how easily I could probably get talked into genocide. You put in the right mix. Now, no white people, I'm not talking about you. But I am thinking of being, look, man, if I was a Palestinian in Palestine, in the Gaza Strip, I'd be hell-bent on revenge. I bring this up because I'm on the 3GO podcast, they had this conversation, and Randolph, one of the hosts, he brings that up. He says that, yeah, God forbid that my daughter was one of the people who died in the hospital after it was bombed by Israeli airplanes. And he talks about how the possibility of turning to that guy who just hell-bent on revenge. And I know for a fact, like, I'm a peaceful person right now. Well, because, you know, live in Canada, live in Ottawa, so peaceful. The worst that happens is some bus driver might piss me off. Motherfucker! You know what I mean? Someone cuts me off in traffic. But being in the battlefield, like being plagued by the epidemic of violence, being in a situation where, like Ice-T said in Colors, they hit us, we hit them. We hit them, they hit us. Growing up in a gang lifestyle, basically growing up in violence, where I'm like, yeah, they killed my cousin. We're getting revenge. And we're going to make them feel worse than they made us feel. I don't know. Okay, no, I'm just getting back to the initial point of I'm starting to think that part of being human is having to be okay with genocide. And I say this because as someone who's, it bothers me. I'm bothered. I'm bothered what's going on in this. Like, It's to the point that even my therapist was like, "Ooh, I kind of need you to, like, you know, calm down on that whole, hold back on that whole reading up on the Middle East." So, you know, just, you know, I need you to, but like, motherfuckers are dying. But I got to pretend like, eh, today's Wednesday, I got paid, you know, people are suffering. Maybe I'm having a, what's that word? They said buyer's remorse. No. When you feel guilty, when you survive, when you're in a group of people, and you're the one who survive, and you feel guilty. Like, this is like a highly sensitive type thing, sensitive as a person like this. I'm a sensitive human being, and I'm human suffering is one thing, but it messes with my head. Like, if I think about it too much, it's going to drive me nuts. But yeah, man, it gets me that Bosniaks were massacred, and I was indifferent, or it wasn't even on my radar. Like, the tragedy that's happened in Palestine has happened before. Fuck, shit. Like I mentioned at the beginning, this episode's being recorded on Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory. If you look at the map, fuck, this whole where I am was, they were all there. They were all over there. Then Europeans showed up. They didn't have the internet back then, so we don't see the details. But let's just say it wasn't when the white man showed up to Turtle Island. There was no negotiation. I'm sure it was horrific. Now, they didn't have semi-automatic weapons and bombs dropping out the window, but I don't know. It just gets me, man. Is that it? I guess I should address this to fellow highly sensitive folks. Why do I say, yeah, highly sensitive folks. And how do you deal with this madness? Take a shot of Hennessy. Now I'm strong enough to face this madness. Nickelback. Anyway, yeah, all this to say, that's why I'm crumbling herbs. Okay, now it's a 4-minute clip about this documentary about the Bosniak massacre. And you can watch it. It'll be in the show notes. But yeah, I'll watch it later. All right. Okay, in an attempt to lighten things up, I'm going to play this clip. This is more bent for humor. And I don't know if I'll do any justice because you can't see it. You know what? Hold on a second.
Hey, guys.
All right. Make sure you don't stay too late. Okay, you can't see it. This is one of those clips that's better off if you saw it yourself. But I'll summarize. It's a black guy's at a computer. And when you heard his, bye, guys. I guess it's the caption goes, when my colleague thinks we are friends because I act so fake at work. And yeah, the only reason I'm sharing it is because, yo, man, I'm looking at this black guy pretending to be him at work, and the acting is perfect. And yeah, that's me right there, man. I remember being at work, had a moment realizing that how much energy I put into convincing white people that I'm not a threat. That, hey, I'm a good guy. I mean, in the past days. But it's like fake. It's like, yo, sometimes it's so, sometimes I feel like Omar Epps in Too Deep, In Too Deep, the movie In Too Deep. In that, Donnie Brasco. It's like I didn't know who I was anymore. Now, I want to be clear, not that I am a threat, but as a black person, you learn at a very young age that it's very important in a professional setting to not give white people the impression that you're like them. You're like those other niggers. Like, it's very important that when a white person sees you at work and goes home and watches the riot, that he or she doesn't make, I wonder if B-Black was in there. They'll probably look at the TV and goes, damn, niggers. And then not think about you. Anyways, yo, no, I really love this clip, man. It's his brother just pretending to be jovial at work and a hella friendly, more friendly than he is. And then at the end of the and the white person's like, yeah, man, we should hang out on the weekend. And it's like, oh, I can't. Anyways, actually, the joke is a lot better. But yeah, no, I've done that, man. I've overplayed my hand, I'll say it. And yes, I guess. Trust me. Yes, I feel like a hypocrite. I was disgusted with myself. I would not be surprised. I would not be shot or angry at these white people if they say, "Yo, you played me." I mean, it's not like we had sex or anything like that. All I did was become a friendly person in the office. All I did was become a person at the office that didn't need to have to worry about. You know what it is? Okay. Holy shit. I'm thinking of that Clinton Tarantino movie. Five Heartbreaks? What's it called again? Quentin. Sorry, my nose is blocked and I'm trying to talk and breathe at the same time. Oh, hold on a second. I think it's because I have the chauffage on, the heater, what do you call those things? Come on, chauffage on anglais. I have the thing that keeps your apartment warm. Well, that's on. I think the dry air is fucking with my nose. Okay, Quentin Tarantino. I'm trying to remember the name of this. Holy, I have this bad habit of going, taking a long ass direction just to make one little small. Like, this is a long-ass setup, right? Quentin Tarantino, he has a movie called, Putain merde, tabarnak, colis, de vierge, de beach, The Haters? No. It's called, Why Aren't You on the Front Page? It's called, oh my God, The Hateful Eight. Jesus Christ, okay. I'm trying to get you situated. All right. There's a scene in The Hateful Eight with, no, you're not going to Google that name. Samuel Jackson's character. He hits a ride with, he managed to hitch a ride with this white guy. And he lies about the fact that he's got a letter written by a handwritten letter from Lincoln. And then later in the story, the guy finds out that, hey, you never had that letter was bullshit. Actually, it's funny. The racist white guy goes, man, it's full of shit. No fucking way that nigger has a letter from Lincoln. And, and then Samuel Jackson goes, yeah, I do. And so that character, the white character, is all pissed off. Goes, fuck it. That's what you people. That's why no one likes you people. Whatever. And at first I was like, yeah, man, you played that white guy. But on the other end, I understood Samuel Jackson's character. He says, yo, man, if it wasn't for this fucking letter, I'd be stuck in the cold right now. You would not treat me like a human being. You would not do decent shit. Like, that's the thing with black people. It's like we got to be above and beyond for these white folks just to be considered human beings. Anyway, yeah. Okay. All right. I just made a link between the Hateful Eight and this The Struggle Is Real clip that you should watch on your own. But yes, brother. Content creator name is Happiness. Excuse me. Is For Real 33? Is that what it is? Happiness Is For Real 33. Kenny. Yeah, man. Yes, brother Kenny. I can relate so much. Yeah, I love this clip. Yeah. Okay. All right. This completes. Is this it? Yeah. All right. This completes, concludes User Random Thoughts. Let's jump to Final Thoughts. Oh, man. 6 minutes. All right. Okay. And like always, final thoughts, and then you get to get the fuck out of here. All right, here we go. I think I'm dehydrated. Hold on a second. This episode is brought to you by H2O. It's only a matter of time before the white man charges us for it. All right. Before I explain the title of today's poetry, the final thought, I guess I want to start with another thought here. It's just a realization. Oh, right. Okay. I just realized, I had a realization that I am not an easygoing guy. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in, so I made peace with the fact that I'm an empath and highly sensitive person. Or I'm making peace with it. And just a thought, I'm going to share the thought that will help me make my point here. It goes, we're not ourselves when we're triggered. We become who we think we need, we become who we think we need to be to survive. Oh, I talked about that earlier. And then we're constantly being triggered. Our identity can start to slip away because our personality and values are constantly getting hijacked by fight or flight reflexes. So, someone had posted something in the HSP, HSP, highly sensitive people, person, subreddit, an article, just a thought about how they don't like people, how it's easy, like they don't have insensitive people. Basically, their difficulty getting along with other people. It's not that people can't get along with them, it's them not liking other people. And that article had me thinking about how in therapy I realized that I'm easily irritable. And is what sucks is I've been around people who are easily irritable, and I became a slave to, like, it was my job to make sure they weren't irritated, oblivious of the fact that there ain't shit I could, there was nothing I could do, not do or do, that would not cause them to be irritable. But my point is, I don't want to put anyone in a situation where they feel that I gotta be careful not to irritate, be black. No, that's not your responsibility. That's my problem. Now, I say this, by having that realization, I realize that I am not as easygoing as I thought. See, old me, well, actually, on the surface, I can spark a conversation with a complete stranger. I talk to a lot of people. Admit, you know what? This is probably it why I used to have this thing where I love strangers more than I love. I love strangers more than anyone else. Like, I bond with strangers. Like, I went to Cuba by myself, and my barber was surprised that I did that. But I just bonded with people I didn't know. And it's funny, it's once I get to know a person, that's when all of a sudden I don't like them anymore. I like people at a distance. But I realized that by doing that, by hooking up with strangers, by befriending strangers, I thought I was being an easygoing person, but really what I realize is that maybe I'm just like, I'm in that category of human beings that can only have, well, one, need to make a genuine connection with another human being, and two, can't do that with a majority of human beings. Probably can only do that with a small majority of human beings. Like, I've met people who I used to think they were unpleasant people. Like, on the surface, when you met them, they didn't smile, they didn't laugh, they just, they didn't cut to the chase. Like, their face was like, they gave you the impression like they weren't friendly. And it's only now that I realize that those people, no, they're sincere human beings. It's like, they don't fake smile. They don't say nice things for the sake of they. No, when they're authentic human beings. I have a long journey into becoming one of those authentic human beings. They're one of those people that if they're in your circle, if they allow you to be in their circle, it's because you earned that shit. And I grew up with the notion that loving someone means letting them stepping over your boundaries. And that's not how it works. I think, all those people that I thought were unpleasant human beings, I think a majority of them were just that. No, it's not that they were unpleasant. They were just very selective about the people they allowed themselves to be close to, because they knew that either A, you weren't gonna, if you didn't click, if y'all didn't click, they knew that either A, you were gonna hate them, or B, they were gonna hate you, or both. So what I'm saying is what I mean. What I'm saying is I am not as easygoing as I thought I was. This is just, yeah, this is just a quick realization that I had not too long ago. Now, it doesn't really relate to the title, but, so I wrote how at my last session I was feeling good. All right, okay. So what's up with the title? Okay, so today's title comes from the poem, the rap verse. No, fuck it. I refer to rap songs as poem, all right? So why? Because it's my goddamn podcast, right? And it comes from a new track by Fonte Tigolo. Is that his name? Tigolo? Yeah, Fonte. Pete, don't be a white guy. Don't be a white person. I'm trying to sound cool and call him by his nickname. But yeah, Fonte. One of the guys from, one of the rappers from Little Brother. And now Fonte is a rap genius, man. That dude, he's underrated. Underrated, right? Now, on the last episode, I was talking about how, I think I was talking about Drake's album and how I need a rap song that caters to, for people my age. And I swear it was, like, after I published that episode, I'm going on my timeline, and someone, one of my, someone I follow on Twitter, posted a video of Fonte's latest track, So Help Me God. So help me God, I murder you niggas. So help me God, I murder you niggas. Yeah, and, wow. And now I'm not saying, oh, yeah, Pastor Tigolo. All right. I'm not saying that I had this song on repeat, but I kind of had this song on repeat. It's been a while since I listened to a rap song and replayed several times. Not just for the lyrics, but it's like I'm talking like when Nas did I Gave You Power. I was like, man, that song is deep. Now, I swear, I'm doing this thing, right? It's like, I swear, I feel like the universe. I stopped praying to Jesus. I pray to the goddess. And who's the goddess? I'm still figuring that out. But yeah, I'm just trying to say that I feel like I did a silent prayer because I was disappointed with hip hop. And then, ba-doop, the goddess said, yo, I need you to check out Fonte, So Help Me God. And it was dope. It was a dope-ass song, first time I heard it. This was on a Sunday, right? Then I remember going into, coming out of therapy, and I actually came out on a high. I can't explain. I'm going into the details, but last therapy session was pretty much saying, was my therapist just pointing out diamonds. I was like, I came in like, man, this sucked, and that sucked. And then she said, but then this happened, and then this happened, and this. By the end, I was like, damn, like I came out, Hercules. It hasn't happened in a while. I remember feeling good. And then this song comes on. I'm not sure if I'm the one who played it by myself, but then I remember driving home and reciting like that shit was like an affirmation. So help me God, I murder you niggas. Now, it's not talking about genocide. But it is saying, I think what I like about this song is a guy like me has this habit of believing that, has this notion, comes up with this notion of defeat that everyone's better than me. It's just, look, man, it's in my operating system. I'm working on it, all right? And playing that song feels like overwrites that part in my brain that wants to say, you're a loser. You ain't shit, man. Look, get out of that man's way. Shut the fuck up. Let him talk. Let her talk. Let him, what the fuck? You know, doesn't matter what you think. It's probably stupid. They're smart. No way. Hold on a second. No fucking way. This can't be true. Hold on a second. Oh my God, this is embarrassing. Okay, you know what? Young kids are going to. I really hope Fonte doesn't listen to this podcast. Hold on a second. Stop the press. Okay, yes, I am purposely putting you guys in suspense. Oh my God! Holy shit! Okay, I'm so sorry, man. Shout out to all you Fonte fans who laughing your ass off at me. Holy shit! This track was released in 2018. Fuck, I'm mine. Yeah, I'm laughing because my younger cousin used to make fun of me for being out of touch with hip hop like that. What the fuck? March 2nd, 2018. Ain't that a bitch? Shit, that's my brother's birthday. What the fuck? Are you kidding? I've been listening to this song like Fonte just created this. Oh my God. I'm embarrassed, man. If I was white, I'm like beaten red right now. I'm blushing. Jesus Christ. Okay, doesn't matter. Get over it. All right. Woo! All right, doesn't matter. Okay, better late than never. Okay? Blame the God. It doesn't matter. It's an answered prayer. I'm so embarrassed. All right, yeah. it's funny how I'm talking and my ADD kicked in and noticed 2018. What the fuck? How was the lyric uploaded on 2018 when this track came out? Oh, anyways, okay. All right, yo, that's fucking funny. What time is it? Okay, 1 hour with 6 minutes. Look, I'm just going to wrap this up real quick. All right, look, answer prayer. The three lines that got me the most about this track. The first one was, y'all scoring in a game. Yeah, you know when a rapper says something, it's like LL Cool J says, I'm checking out the rapper and the rhyme that he says. Yeah, this is what this is, right? So I was checking out a rapper and the rhyme that he said was the first one. The quotable was, y'all scoring a game that I don't care about. Y'all scoring a game y'all don't care about. As if y'all watching hockey and I don't give a fuck about these players. Y'all scoring a game. I love the idea or this notion that caring about shit that I don't give a fuck about. See, I used to have this habit of caring too much because everyone else thought it was cool that I had to think it was cool. Because everyone else had a bad bitch, I had to have a bad bitch. Because everyone else was getting money or because someone else was getting money, I had to worship that person. And what I'm realizing that as I got to on this journey of knowing thyself, on this journey to knowing myself, basically I assessed my own values and stopped caring about how when other people's are scoring games that I don't give a fuck about. In fact, that same Fonte's got a rhyme about how he goes to a bar and tired of going to a bar. I'm paraphrasing, right? And drinking drinking beverages that he doesn't like, just to impress a bunch of people he doesn't like. And yeah, man, sometimes you just gotta, I think that's probably the blessing about getting older, is you like what you like. You're not trying to impress anyone, other people as much. Well, at least us mature type. If you're mature enough, you stop caring what other people are scoring games, the games other people score on. All right, what's good for you is good for you. Yeah, I used to have this dude who would make fun of the factors. That's why you're gonna die alone. Yes, this is my favorite one. That's why you're gonna die alone, or that's why it was a stupid thing to say, but it was more like, yeah, that's why you're never going to end up in a relationship. And now, this came from a person who was in a relationship, but a mediocre one. I swear, this ass, I mean, fuck. That dude was so lucky to have scored his wife because he had no idea. Basically, he was in a relationship, but couldn't stop complaining about this woman. Always complain. I always had something to complain about. Like, he was one of those people that when she leaves, you're going to be one of those people that are like, when a woman's fed up, a la R. Kelly, or what's that, the Life Jetting song? You don't miss a well until you're thirsty, some shit like that. Whatever. Yeah, he's like, he's going to be that story. But at first, what I'm getting at is, at first it would bother me when he said that. But now I see him for what he is, I'm like, fuck. Dude, you just, I don't hope you lose your girl, but I know it was more like, homie, you are not in a position to talk. Like, that's, I should have just assessed the human being who was telling me this and realized that his word had no value. All right, okay. Y'all scoring a game that I don't care about. Y'all scoring a game I don't care about. It's funny. When I hear it, it makes sense. But when I say it, it's hard to pronounce. But that's not it. Okay. Another line that I like was, did I really not write it? Oh, God damn it. Oh, right. I forgot. Okay, yeah. Okay. So the other line was, hold on. I'm fixing my notes because I forgot to add it. Okay, the second line that I got and that I recited was, because time is precious and my peace of mind is paramount. I remember being in grade school and we were this thing I read, and we're talking about how the fragility of mental health. And at the time, I remember it served as a warning, but I didn't really take it serious. No, I didn't really understand it. It's only when I became an adult and had a moment where I nearly lost my mind. I wanted to lose my mind. I kept having pictures of, okay, granted, I was high when it would happen, but I remember this one time I was so high and I had image, like I was just paranoid of losing my mental capacity. Like, I was wondering shit. It's like, when you go crazy, when you, like, lose it, are you aware that you've lost it? Or to you, you're just, I'm just breathing. I mean, it's you, to you, you're just behaving normal, but the rest of the world are looking at you like, oh, he's, oh, shit. Oh, you're crazy. I am. Yeah. But I remember having this thought that scared me of losing it, blacking out, and then being wrestled to the ground by law enforcement talking about, stop resisting! Stop, like, blacking, like, wondering what the fuck happened. A la Tyler Durden, Fight Club. Tyler Durden. Like, I was worried that I was gonna have my own Tyler Durden talking me into doing crazy shit, and I'm thinking, like, I've met a new best friend, and next thing you know, I'm being tasered by law enforcement. Talking about, calm down! And I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on? What did I do? Not realizing, did you not see these kids you just ran over? Whatever. Right. Anyway, yeah. So all this to say, yes, I'm at the age where I value mental health. And Big Sean is like, Detroit over everything. I'm like, mental health over everything. Which is why, Mom, I don't want to hear shit about that Jesus shit. All right, Jesus. I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. Because Jesus ain't doing anything to help my mental health. All right, okay. The last line that I, hip-hop quotables that I appreciated from that rap song was, that came out on March 2nd, 2018, is, you're only as old as your ability to process new information. And he repeats that constantly. You're only as old as your ability to process new information. You know, I can't say anymore. It speaks for itself, that line. Right? Yeah. You're only as old as your ability to process new information. All right, gang. This concludes today's episode. What time is it? Damn it. Oh, it doesn't matter. All right. This concludes today's episode. Yeah. Like always. Oh, yeah. On the show notes, I've added a section called Other Links. And that's just things that, links that I've saved. I didn't, instead of bringing it up on the episode, it's for your own clicking pleasure, right? And usually the last link or the last links are usually comedy related. So yeah, I go from serious. Yeah. Again, these are things I've read. They may or may not have influenced some of the stuff that I've said on this episode, but whatever, man. Other links, man. And for, think of it as if we were Facebook friends, it's just something that would have popped up on the timeline. All right. Okay. All right. So this concludes today's episode. Like always, if you want to holler at me, you can find me on these TikTok streak. using the handle at bblizak or at shutuppodcast. Did I say TikTok? Jesus Christ, I meant Twitter, right? Hey, Twitter, how come you don't call it X? Because I'm a grown-ass man and I don't like Elon Musk. All right, on these Twitter streets, at bblizak, at shutuppodcast. You can also find me on, if you're on TikTok, you can find me at b.black. And on Instagram and what's that other one called? Threads? Yeah, Threads. The at Shut Up Podcast. But if you really want to find me, my stomping ground on the internet is shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time, cuz let me turn on my hearing aid. Shutuppodcast.com. Yeah, that's my headquarters on the internet. You can holler at me using the email address shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. And yeah, or the contact us page, the contact us link. There's a contact us thingy on the website. All right. Also, on the same website, you can find the what website? Shutuppodcast.com. You can find the RSS feed that allows you to subscribe to this podcast, or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcasts. Right? Okay. You got that, right? I wrote that. Did I miss anything? I feel like I missed something. No, I didn't. Okay. All right. Excuse me. Like always, mes amis, thank you for listening. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now!